Hello there. How are you doing? Thank you so much for listening to Anxiety Now. I really appreciate it. It means so much to me that you choose to download this podcast and subscribe to it every single week. And if you're not subscribed to it, then why the fuck aren't you? Just do it. Is it that hard for you? Just hit the subscribe button. That's it. It's that easy. Just go hit subscribe. Just do it right now. Right now. Just hit subscribe. Get this thing automatically downloaded into your podcast queue. That way, you don't have to look for it. You don't have to go to my Instagram or Twitter or wherever the hell you got it. And if you are subscribed, do me a favor. Go tell some friends about it. Why are you keeping this to yourself? What is the point of keeping something that you enjoy to yourself? Don't do that. Don't be selfish. Don't be that type of person. Be a person who shares things you like with other people. Like I said last podcast, I don't want to be some indie band who goes to cities and has six people show up for a show even if they love him. I'd rather have 400 people feel mediocrely about me. I would rather that. I don't want seven people loving me. I want 400. I want 2,000 people being milquetoast towards me. That's what I want. So yeah, don't keep this to yourself. Go tell them to subscribe, all right? What a way to start a podcast, by berating your audience and tell them what to do. But that's something that you only get here, right? Right? Right here with the lone wolf. That is so stupid. It is so stupid. One of my friends, Rich, he was telling me, he listened to the podcast. He was telling me how he describes this podcast. And he says, it's one man who knows he's insane, but he's still insane, but he knows he's insane, but still insane. And I think that's probably the most accurate description of what Anxiety Now is and has become. I do know this. It has gotten a lot better since dropping guests and co-hosts. Who cares? You know what I mean? You want guests? Go listen to Tim Ferriss's podcast. That dude is boring. Could you imagine an hour and a half of Tim Ferriss talking? Tim Ferriss is like the worst parts of me. The worst parts, the most annoying parts of me is Tim Ferriss. All that working out and counting macros and figuring out how to optimize life. Isn't that such a dumb, that's such a dumb concept to like optimize, like life, especially at a certain point, is not about quote optimizing. Like what is, I can't understand what fuels like people like Tim Ferriss or any of those. Who's that stupid vlogger everyone likes? Casey Neistat? Yo. He is so boring. Every single... I've watched like probably 10 Casey Neistat videos that I wrote for some jokes for some stupid YouTube channels. And they wanted me to watch those. My God. What does this guy do? I don't even understand what... What is the job? I don't understand what the job is. Every video Casey Neistat does is him waking up. You see him wake up and he's already filming. He's already holding a camera in his hand, which means he woke up, walked over to like his dresser, picked up his camera, and then laid down and he's holding it so it looks like he's sleeping. And every video is, hey, what's up? Casey here. I'm just about to go down to the Lower East Side. I got a meeting with some guys. This should be productive. Then dope shots of New York City skyline accompanied by cool EDM music. Then it cuts to him on some sort of strange mode of travel, like a skateboard. So he's on a skateboard in New York going to his meeting at the age of 45. You know what? If I am ever at a position where I am holding meetings and I'm the one who's kind of in charge of it, and the other guy shows up with a skateboard, I take his skateboard and I snap it on my knee and I throw him out of the boardroom. We don't do meetings with skateboard people, okay? You're 45. Lose the skateboard, okay? Take a cab. Walk here. The subway. Like a grown-up. Don't bring your skateboard into my business meeting, okay? You're going to be sweaty and annoying. And I know you're not going to be focused because all you're thinking about is when you get back on that skateboard. So then we see nothing with the meeting with Casey. Nothing. Nothing. He doesn't go to the meeting or anything. Or he goes to the meeting, but we don't see anything. We have no idea what goes on in the meeting. So then we see him come out. He's already, like, holding the camera, and he walks out of the meeting. He goes, yeah, productive meeting. I got to head to another place. Now I'm heading over to the East Village. Now somehow he's on a scooter. Like, he swapped out his skateboard for a scooter. Then he's over. We see, again, dope skyline shot. Of course, time lapse. To show that time has passed. Then it's him on the scooter. Maybe, like, someone goes, hey, Casey. And he goes, yo, what's up, bro? On a scooter. Then he arrives at the meeting. We get a shot of him walking up a stairwell. And he's like, I don't take the elevator. Try to stay as fit as I can. Fuck you. Fuck you. Okay? Don't brag that you take the stairs. All right? If you're going to be a person who takes the stairs, just take the stairs. You don't need to flaunt it in people's face. That's great. You went up 7 flights of steps. I don't care. And you got a scooter. Get out of my boardroom. That's what I say. Then again, the meeting happens. No idea what the meeting is about. What could it be about? Dude just shoots vlogs. What could it be about? Keep making vlogs? Okay. Here's a lot of money from AT&T for your vlog? Okay. Come walks out of the board and goes, yeah, another productive meeting, real successful, excited about some projects coming down the pipeline. Now, I'm going to go meet my wife for 30 minutes and have lunch. Now he's lost the scooter. And instead, he's on a unicycle. Just Casey Neistat on a unicycle. Dope skyline shot. Time lapse. Then him on a unicycle riding around New York, as if that isn't the most inconvenient way to get around. Then a shot of him eating lunch with his wife, and her kind of going, come on, Casey, put down the camera. I don't really want to be filmed right now. And that's every single Casey Neistat vlog. Dude makes millions of dollars, and I can't understand why. Why? I know why, because people watch it, but it's shit. It's crap. Just because a lot of people do it doesn't mean it's not crap. Some things can be really good. And nobody knows about them. For example, this podcast. Very good podcast. I stand behind this product 100%. Also, now that I cut Coscarelli, I know it's good. Okay? Because it's mine. And I'm in control of it. So I know it's good. But not as many people know about it. And that is a frustrating aspect of life and everything, is that life is not a meritocracy. The sooner that one gets that through their head, the better. They have sayings like cream rises to the top. Yeah, but they also scrape the cream off and throw it on the ground and give someone skim milk. So the cream rises to the top, so we can just scrape the cream off and throw it out. I don't know if the cream rises to the top. I think that's just a thing people say to you when they know you're good at something, and they're trying to make you feel better. Because cream doesn't always rise to the top. In fact, sometimes cream rises to the top, and then it sits there for a long time, and it curdles. Because life isn't a meritocracy. It's not. It's one of the hardest lessons to learn. Is that even if you're better than people at stuff, it could not matter. Because people just want to do stuff with, say, their friends or some girl they're trying to hook up with. I know comedians do that. And other people have done that. They've given people jobs because they want to hook up with them. They would like to have sex with them, so they put them in certain positions. Not cool. Ultimately leads to a sexual harassment or assault case. But they do it. Or they just take a liking to someone for no rational reason. I know some comedian friends who, this one friend of mine, he gets like a bunch of work in Vegas because he brings coke with him. That's not a meritocracy. God, it's a really hard lesson to accept, is that a meritocracy, that things aren't a meritocracy. And in a more, it really is more about like who you know than what you know. You just have to know enough. You don't actually have to know a ton. You just have to know enough. And if you know enough, then you'll get the thing if you know the right people. What a bummer, you know? Because you always think, like, if you just put your head down and work hard, it'll work out. But it might not. Because you may have wasted your time working hard when you should have been networking. You ever notice that? Like, some people who are exceptional networkers, but they turn out crap. And for some reason, they get stuff. Probably because they think they deserve stuff. It's another key to life, is you got to say you deserve it. You have to say, give me that, and you have to go and take it. Doesn't sound very charitable and friendly, but that's how you get things, is you go, that's mine. Fuck all of you. I'm taking it. This is quite the opening to a podcast. This is quite the opening. But this is why we're here for Anxiety Now. This is why you tune in for this. For whatever this is why you tune in. I've had such bad luck with cars lately. We had our Brett and I, we had a 2002 Honda Accord with like almost 300,000 miles. We were like 5K from the 300,000 mile mark. I really wanted to hit that mark just because it really feels good to log that many miles on a car and know you sucked the marrow out of it. To know that, like, you driving it, you're practically making money. Like, you push this car past its limits. Past its limits. We had it parked just on a street corner or neighborhood, and some dude, this is like, I don't know, 2 or 3 months ago, someone, drunk driver, just ran into the side of it and just demolished the axle. The car, because it has so many miles on it, is worth nothing. It's worth like $300, $400. So we had to total the thing and get a new one. So I got a brand new, well, it's not brand new, but I got a 2015 Honda Accord for the past couple months, and it has been great, or so it seemed, until this past Monday. I pull over for a second and I go to turn the car back on, and the thing doesn't start at all. This is a 3-year-old car with 20,000 miles on it now, and it will not start at all. Just not responding. Also, we're in the middle of a heat wave, so it's like 105 degrees. It is so hot. Just straight swamp ass. I just finished working out, so now I'm already in a pool of my own grindle, just stewing. Nothing more disgusting than that post-workout stewing without a shower. You gotta rinse it fast. You really do. Especially in this kind of heat during the summer. And when you got balls, if you don't wash them, you're going to have problems. It's like that, who's that? God, Martin Lawrence bit. Yo, ladies, you better wash that ass. My version is, men, you better wash your balls. You got to wash your balls. If you don't wash your balls, you're going to get a rash. A real bad rash on the sides. It's not an STD, but in case anyone sees it, they're going to think it's an STD. They are. And it might as well be an STD. That's why those old guys, you ever been in the gym? Old guys powder their balls regularly because they know. They're savvy vets. They've been there. They know that if they don't keep those balls dry, they're going to have hell to pay later. You can't live. You can't live with the thigh chafe rash. With that, when that swamp ass extends past the gooch into those sides, Can't have it. You can't have it. So I'm in my car. It's 105. It won't start. I know nothing about cars. I know nothing. Nothing. The only thing I know how to do is change it from park to reverse to drive and turn on the windshield wipers. That is the extent of my car knowledge. And some people think it's not manly to know how to change your own oil or change a tire. I say, nah. Paying someone to do that for you is plenty manly, okay? You can throw your wallet around. That's plenty manly. I'm just justifying it right now. I don't believe that. I make it sound like I have $1 billion. I don't at all. That's why I'm doing this podcast. Try to get you guys to listen to it and tell people about it. Come to shows. Give me your money because that's what I want. That is what I want. So my car will not start at all. And just 2 months ago, I already had to get a car towed to get rid of it. So I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. Only 2 months with this thing and it's already broke down. I'm already having an issue. So I call a tow truck. Guy comes and grabs it, tows it. Dude's great, by the way. He's awesome. The guy in the car, I can't remember his name, but he was really dope. And of course the tow truck guy is going to be dope because he's taking so much money from you. It's so easy to be happy. Well, he's kind of like, you know what he's doing? He's kind of, you have to have like bedside manner because here the person, whoever you're towing, is having a terrible day. Every person that that guy meets is having a rough day. Any car issues, just stall your life. If you can't get to work, you can't get your kids, you can't go to the grocery, whatever it is. You don't really need a car in New York usually, but you know, if you do what I do, you do. But especially in other cities, you are effed if your car breaks down. Effed. You can't do, and I'm from Kansas City, you can't go anywhere. To walk out of where my parents live is like 3/4 of a mile. That is to get out of the neighborhood and not even, when I'm talking to a grocery store, a restaurant, or anything else you could need. So of course he's dope because he's just handling, he has bedside manner. He knows that when he drops the car off, he's going to drop a fat bill on your head. So he's got to be as cool as possible. The dude was sincerely cool though. I will give him that. It was sincere. It was sincere. We had a good time in the tow truck. And then we get to the Honda dealership. It was $250 to take a car 3.5 to 4 miles. Insane. And you have no idea how much it's going to cost when you ask for the tow truck. It's just going to be dropped on your head. The price, you're going to get to the end of it, and it's going to go, well, this is how much it is. And you go, I can't do that. I mean, what do? You go, no. And he goes, cool, I'm going to take your car. I've got your car still hooked up to mine. I'm going to take your car until you give me that money. There's nothing you can do about it. Drops the car off at the Honda dealership thing. They're going to fix it. But there's so many people there. Thankfully, the World Cup games were on, so I got to watch, I think it was Japan versus Belgium. I think that's who it was. Yeah, that's who it was. I was trying to think of the second team. I knew it was Japan. And the reason it was Japan is because there was another guy at the dealership who was Chinese who had on a World Cup shirt. And I love soccer. It's my favorite sport. I love the World Cup. I think it's the most fun sporting event, bar none. The Super Bowl blows dick compared to the World Cup. It's one game. The Super Bowl game isn't even that good. It's not that exciting, and it's over-commercialized. What's beautiful about soccer? 45 minutes of action, then commercials. You can just go piss during that. Come back, 45 minutes of action. Are there advertisements on the jerseys? Sure. And on the sides of the field? Sure. But those are more subliminal. They don't actually pause the game for you to watch them. Plus, the sport itself is so much more exciting. And I hate this stuff. When like people complain about like low scoring in soccer, you're like, oh, it's basically people being like, I only want to come. Those are the type of people. who say those things when they're like, what is there like two goals in a game? How is a 1-1 tie interesting? And you're like, oh, cool. See, all you care about is coming. That's all you care about is just climaxing. That's who you are. You don't care about the buildup. You don't care about narrative. You don't care about feelings. I'll admit there's boring soccer games, but there's also boring basketball games. I've turned on NBA games, gotten 2 minutes in, and been like, this is unwatchable. If it's two teams playing with no drama and no stakes, it's not interesting. Same for football. There's NFL games that are atrocious. Have you ever watched two mediocre teams that are just in the middle of their conferences play for nothing? Not fun. It's not an exciting game. There's just, for some reason in America, when soccer has those types of setups, everyone just goes, the whole sport is boring. No. No, the whole sport isn't boring. You just care about coming. That's it. That's all you care about. You don't want to wait for it. You don't want to earn it. You don't want to see the buildup. So much better than all those other sports. So much. There's so many possessions in basketball that you cannot watch 20 of them and still understand the game. You don't have to. Watching the whole basketball game, it doesn't behoove you. So I'm watching the World Cup game. Like I said, Japan versus, I think it's Belgium. It's Belgium. I know it's Belgium now. I remember some of the players now. I remember their names. And there was with this Chinese guy. Here's why soccer's great. You don't even have to speak the same language as somebody, and you can understand, like, what they want. So I'm watching the game. This guy is Chinese, and he's cheering for Belgium, and I didn't know he's Chinese now, and I'm like, you're not Japanese, are you? And he just goes, no. Like, very vehemently. Very vehemently, he was like, no, I'm not Japanese. Which I kind of did a Japanese accent there, so I apologize for that. That wasn't a good one. But he just shakes his head, and I was like, okay, cool. Belgium? And he goes, yeah, Belgium. He's cheering for Belgium. I'm like, huh. That's how I figured out I was like, where are you from? He goes, China. And I go, okay. And then he said, I don't speak a lot of English. Great. We could still watch the game together. We're both cheering and high-fiving during it. Now, if you remember the game, Belgium ended up scoring a great goal on a counterattack based off a run from Romelu Lukaku. These details don't matter. This part of the details don't matter. I mean, you guys don't care what the players did or their names. But what was so funny is how excited the Chinese guy got. And I asked him, he was there with his girlfriend. His girlfriend could translate at this point. And I asked him, like, why didn't you want Japan to win? Because they're from the same area. They're from the same area. Like, I cheered for Mexico even though I'm from the U.S. And if you don't know and you don't think, like, that's a racist thing, first off, fuck off. Second off, because the U.S. and Mexico in soccer are rivals. That's why, okay? It's a friendly rivalry. It's not some stupid racist Trump thing that, whatever. Anyway. But I cheered for Mexico because they're from the same division as the U.S. And I want the division that the U.S. is in to look good. And I'm not going to bemoan the fact the U.S. didn't make the World Cup. I had already heard enough. And I asked this guy, so why didn't you want Japan to win? He goes, and I guess his girlfriend goes, he hate Japanese people. So funny. It's so funny. It's so funny. That's what's great when you're not. That's what sucks about being a white person is that you can't just say things like that. You can't. And I know that someone's listening and be like, yeah, you can. And no, you can't. You can't. In the world, you really can't. I could not right now say, I don't like Chinese people. I can't say it. Not that I really want to say it. But I'm saying I can't say it, people will be like grossed out by me. And as well they should. But this guy, Chinese, says, I don't like Japanese people. And all of us laughed. And we're like, that's hilarious. And I didn't want to, you know, what's funny is that when he was cheering not for Japan, I didn't want to, I know the stereotype that Asians don't like other Asians. And you know what? I get the stereotype because who could ever like an Asian? Oh man. If you aren't laughing, you're no fun. Okay. You are no fun. You're a no fun person. Who doesn't like distasteful jokes? Okay. But no, seriously, he can just say that. He can say it. And he wasn't joking. He meant it. That's, I think, the difference I'm trying to get. He wasn't doing it ironically. You know, ironic racism, which some people like don't enjoy. Guess what? I like it. I think it's funny. I enjoy ironic racism. It makes me laugh. So during this time, they're like, I'm waiting for my car to get fixed. And before the game ends, before Belgium won, there's like 15 minutes left. I'm only hanging out there. They told me I'd go home and they'd drive my car to my place. Whatever, that's fine. But I don't really feel like taking a 50-minute train home and then you guys beat me home with my car like the world's shittiest Uber. So I watched the game. Also, I'm having fun with my Chinese friend and with all the other people who I'm watching the game with. You know, it's like 10 of us at the car place watching a game together, cheering and yelling. It's so much fun. And I get a phone call with like 15 minutes left in the game. Last 15 minutes game are always the best, too, because that's where you're going to find the conclusion of the narrative. That's all sports are. They're narratives. They're stories. So 15 minutes left, and I get a phone call, and it's someone from the dealership, and he goes, hey, Jordan, have you left yet? And I go, no, I'm just over in the waiting room watching this World Cup game. And he goes, oh, if you want, head over in the back. We can talk to you real quick. And I'm like, oh, okay, thinking, oh, he is the person who's going to explain to me what's wrong with my car. I walk over there. And it's a guy, slick back hair. He's got on a suit tailored too tightly. Big smile, shakes me. Hey, Jordan, take a seat. I'm like, okay, this feels like not the guy who tells me what's wrong with my car. This feels like the guy who sells me cars. And I sit there, and he goes, what do you got here? You got a 2015 Honda Accord, 20,000 miles for it. Here's the thing about cars, okay, is that down the line, they lose their value. I'm sitting there like, oh, okay, yeah, cars lose value. What are you doing, dude? Yeah, of course. He goes, yeah, cars lose value. And, you know, right now, I think maybe it'd be a good idea for you to, like, trade in your car. Because if you trade in your car, you know, you get two, three, four years down the line from now, that car's not going to be worth as much as you put into it. So you're going to have a problem. You know, you're going to lose money on your car. And I'd hate to see you do. I've seen a lot of people go down this path. And instead, wouldn't you rather lease a car? We could even get your monthly payment lower. And then he looks at my thing and goes, oh no, you paid down your car. But still, like, still a low monthly payment. And you even have a newer, safer car. Because this Honda Accord, the 2015 Honda Accord, the 2016, 2017 are even safer than 2015. I'm like, what does that mean? Is this car going to blow up when I'm driving it? If not, don't care. I'll put my seatbelt on. I was driving a 2002 Honda Accord. I'd imagine I was, by your measure, was just a death trap. And I was fine in it. Okay? But it's 2015. I think it's okay. I love the idea of him being like, it's going to lose value. And I just hate seeing that happen to people. It's like, do you really hate seeing it happen to people? Or do you not care because you just want me to give you my car? And if this car is going to lose so much value, why the fuck are you trying to buy it from me? If you're ever sitting with someone and they're at a table and they're presenting you with a deal, you got to know there's a reason why they're giving you that deal. Nobody in the world does business out of kindness. Whoever you're sitting across from you is trying to take their hand and shove it into your too tight a-hole. Okay? That's what business people do, is they try to take their hand and fist you with it. That's all he's trying to do. He's trying to fist me. By the way, I bought this car from them a month and a half ago. What kind of moron or impatient twat does this guy think I am, that I buy a car, drive it for a month and a half, then I'm already sick of it? how fucking spoiled would I be? And here's another. It's a Honda Accord. The most boring car you can drive. So boring. What kind of Honda Accord driver? You don't drive a Honda Accord because you try to get pussy. You drive a Honda Accord because usually it's safe and reliable. That's why you drive a Honda Accord. Because you don't want to take risks with your car. Because you're not rich. That's why you drive a Honda Accord. It's a good car, but it's not a crazy good car. It's not a fancy car. It's a car that goes down the street and nobody makes fun of you for it. Which, if you're a man in the world, is kind of your goal. It's to not get made fun of by your friends. That's why men get the same haircuts. Because you want to blend in on that front so you don't get ripped on by your friends. We all wear the same shirts. Why? Because we don't want to get made fun of by our friends. We drive a Honda Accord because we don't want to get made fun of by our friends. Also, because we're poor. You want me to trade in the car I just bought from you? I literally was here a month and a half ago, and I sat here, and now you're trying to buy it back from me? Look at the paper. You think I'm that dumb? That spoiled or what? So stupid. And I go, I don't think, I'm not really interested in that. And he goes, all right, well, let me ask you a couple questions real quick before I let you go. In 5 years, do you see yourself still driving this car? And I go, yeah, probably. And he goes, well, about 10 years. I go, yeah, hopefully. And then he goes, all right, I understand. Have a good one. I am an iceberg. And those settings, when I don't want to buy something, you will not sell me anything. I will take nothing from you. I'll sit across from timeshare sellers all day eating their shitty brunch that they lured me in with. And I will not buy a timeshare. No, thank you. God, I can't believe they sell those things. And I can't believe anyone buys them. Who wants to go on vacation to the same place all the time? Right? Like, life is about exploring and seeing new things. Why would you want to see Miami, Florida every day of your vacation? You get 1-2 weeks of vacation a year. Why would you want to spend it at the same beach in the Bahamas every day? What a boring life. Don't do that. Nobody should buy a timeshare. I also like at the timeshare thing when they tell you you're going to be able to, you'll be able to sell it and make money on it. You won't. You won't. Because it's hard. Because everyone else knows they shouldn't buy a timeshare. Nobody wants to buy your timeshare. It's a terrible investment. If you want to make an investment, buy stock in Apple. Don't buy a timeshare. Don't do that. Ultimately, my car ended up being fine. Well, they said the battery was faulty, so they swapped in a new battery. And it was fine. It's driving around now. No problem. Hopefully, I go a while without another freaking thing happening. I don't want to spend more money on my car. I don't want to spend more money on anything. Money is blood. And if you run out of it, you die. I really don't want to get to the point where that's like all you care about, though. I think you see that with like older people. All they care about is money. I think it must be if you have kids. You ever see that? You ever notice that with parents? Especially men. Oh my God. Nothing scarier than a man with a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old. That guy's looking down the barrel of a gun going, how am I going to get these two to the age of 18 so I can push them out of my airplane and they don't splat on the ground? That's how they're wired. Like you probably know this by now, I am a fan of the show Survivor. On the show Survivor, there is a phenomenon of men in their 40s with young children being the greatest at finding immunity idols. Immunity idols are things you find them. They're kind of like an extra life without getting into it too complex. It's like an extra life in the game, effectively. You got to play it to protect yourself. More complicated than that, but they're huge. They're so helpful. But you know who always finds the hidden immunity idols? The production staff just puts like a couple on the beach in random spots. And they're pretty hard to find. Take a lot of effort. And they're risky because if other people know you're looking for them, then they might target you. Who always finds them? 45-year-old men. 45-year-old men with two kids always find immunity idols. Because they don't sleep. Because they're afraid they're not going to support their children. Their kids will die. And the government will throw them in prison. That's the 45-year-old male mentality. Now, compare that to often younger women in their mid-20s, early 20s, they don't really find many hidden immunity idols. They don't. They don't. What they mostly do on the show is they say things like, I'm not here to make friends. You know who never says, I'm not here to make friends? 45-year-old men. You'll never hear a 45-year-old man in the world, not even on the game show, in the world. There is not a single 45-year-old man who has ever said something like, I'm not here to make friends. You know why? Because he never thought he'd make friends in the first place. In his head, making friends is over. He's got two kids. Those are his only friends. His wife isn't even his friend. His only friend, two kids. Those are his only friends. He's got all the friends he needs. That's it. His only thing he cares about, getting them to college. That's it. Nothing's scaring a 45-year-old man. I don't even know how I got in that tangent. I have no idea. No idea. This is so stream of conscious and insane. How does Rush Limbaugh do this? I know if you can disagree with his politics, and I've listened to borderline none of him, but this guy for years would do like 3 to 6 hours of radio where he would talk to himself. Wow. No wonder he got batty. You too would lose your mind if every day you had to talk for 3 to 6 hours to nobody and come up with opinions. Yours would start getting pretty bad. Your opinions would get real rough. Talk about virtue signaling. I don't know if you have any friends out there who do a lot of virtue signaling. It's getting gross. It's getting disgusting. The level of virtue signaling on basic stuff. Can we agree that there are some opinions you shouldn't have to espouse? Like, you shouldn't have to share that you espouse. You espouse them, you shouldn't have to declare them. Like, at this point, gay marriage. If you're a person who tells people you support gay marriage verbally, you tweet it out, you write it on your Facebook, etc., you're a fucking loser. Of course you do. It should be implicit. I'm also sick of corporations putting the rainbow flag up. Like Gap. I walk by the Gap in New York City and the rainbow flag's up. You know what it says to me? These clothes are for gays. I can't shop here during this month. I gotta wait till Pride Month is over. That's when the straight section comes back out. Do gay guys even wear Gap? Do they? But virtue signaling, it's so pathetic and gross and dumb. You gotta be such a bore. You're a bore. If those are like every day you think you need to tweet out how socially progressive you are, write a joke. Write a screenplay. Here's what I actually think you do. Don't do those things. You actually want to make change in the world? Go to law school. There you go. Go to law school. Run for office. Help someone get elected to office. Go do things. Actual activities. Go do them. Don't just write on your social media and then keep your marketing job. Don't do that, okay? Don't do, because that does nothing for nobody. All it does is let you go, pat, 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 I'm a good person. Pat, 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 I'm a good person. Saying the right things does not matter. You need to do them. That is why it's disgusting and gross. It's so dumb. There's been so many. My buddy Callis sent me one thing this girl put up. I gotta pull this up. I'm pulling up my phone right now. I know it's not the the best thing to do when you're the only person on a podcast, but hey, it's what's happening right now. This girl posted a picture, and if I had to describe it for you guys, she is wearing a American, so she's on a yacht or some sort of boat. She's in some sort of body of water. Oh, she's in Fire Island, okay, in New York. That's great. Awesome. 4th of July. Hope you're having fun. And she's in like a red, white, and blue tank top, and then red, white, and blue, like some sort of some shorts, American flag clothes on. And her status is, so, and she's trying to look as sexy as possible in this. Hey, you know what? All for it. Look as sexy as you want on social media, I guess. Do it. You know what I mean? I'm going to post shirtless workout pics. Why? Because those are the only ones you guys like. I can post all sorts of stand-up stuff. Y'all don't like it. All you want is shirtless pics. So that's what you're getting, okay? I'm going to get more jacked and post more shirtless workout pics. How do you like that? So head over to my Instagram. I actually put this up in my story. So if you want, go over to @JRabled and you can check out this exact picture. It was in my stories. I'll put it back up if you message me and you want it. I'll message you the photo if you're that curious. But so she put up a photo of her looking scantily clad and all sexy at the edge of a boat. And it says, I love this country, but we really need to get our shit together. Happy 4th. Hashtag abolish ICE. Hashtag impeach 45. You're a fucking loser. You're a loser. You're a loser. This is just about you looking sexy. Why you lure me in with a sexy photo and then you got to put some stupid political stuff that has nothing to do with the photo? Why you do that? Why would you do that? Not even lure me in. I don't even care about looking at, like, what kind of, like, cretin really spends their time looking at attractive girls on Instagram? Like, that's how you spend your time? Get a life, okay? You're a loser, too. If you're a person who double taps on hot girls, why are you doing that? No girl's ever gotten a like from a guy on a photo. A random guy. A guy they didn't have a connection with before. And be like, oh my God, I should go suck that guy's dick. No girl's ever thought that. Especially a girl who gets, like, thousands of likes. Like, what are you doing? How about this girl? Go to law school, okay? You want to make change? Do work. Oh, you don't want to. Why? Because you have a boat. You're part of the problem. You're part of the 1%. Only rich people have boats. You're part of the problem, okay? So dumb. It's so dumb. But you know why they don't? Because they want to be good without doing good. They want people to think they're good without doing any of the actual things you have to do. There's like this really corny. I mean, the level of like self-loathing some people have for America is pathetic. The 4th of July is supposed to be a fun day with family and friends celebrating our independence, which is kind of funny. It's kind of a funny war because, I mean, I think it was simply over money. That's what it was. It was taxation without representation, and then this war started because all the rich people were like, yeah, we don't want to pay England. Let's keep our money here. Cool. But this Vice article is so lame. So lame. I had it pulled up. So fucking lame. This Vice article, it's the title of it is How to Celebrate the 4th of July When America is a Constant Disappointment. Is it? Is it a constant disappointment? I don't think it is. I don't think it is a constant disappointment. Oh, no doubt. It is imperfect. And has a dark history, but also has a great history. That's like kind of where we've moved. We've moved to like complete I know this actually is a very serious issue in that like certain elements of history are completely glossed over in history books and kids aren't taught about those things like slavery. I know there's like history books in certain parts of the country that get two paragraphs in a book on American history. That is insulting and disgusting. No doubt. But a constant disappointment. I don't know. Like if, and you know, this is the first line. America has always been bad, no matter who the president is or was. You're like, okay, Jesus fucking Christ. Yeah, that dim-witted. Have you ever thought that one of the things that makes this country a very good country, and I won't say great again, because those words trigger some people. But have you ever thought that maybe one of the things that makes it great is that you can write things like America has always been bad no matter who the president is or was, and all that will happen is maybe a few people tweet at you that you're a fucking moron, but then by and large most people also – virtue signalers just want to give themselves that pat on the back so they'll share your bullshit. Just share your dumb opinion. She moves on to tell us, I think it's a she. Yeah, I mean, I hate to say it, but I don't think some dude's writing this thing. Guys don't write this kind of stuff. This is trash. This is trash. This is stupid. So she goes on to outline things you could do to, like, have a 4th of July that you can enjoy and not make it about blind patriotism. Now, I don't know. Like, I know the 4th of July is, like, there's a lot of American flags out, but I don't think it's about blind patriotism. Last time I checked, the 4th of July is about hot dogs and friends. That's all my 4th of July's have been fireworks, hot dogs, and friends. That's what it is. We don't do, nobody. Granted, my family's not a bunch of white supremacists, so maybe, you know, there's a sect that it's about some other stuff, but it's about hot dogs, friends, and fireworks. That's the 4th of July. It's not about blind patriotism. How do you figure? How do you figure that it's about blind patriotism? Ya imbecile. Her first idea for how you can have a liberally okay 4th of July, a 4th of July that in her eyes is appropriate, whatever the fuck that is. If you're hosting a get-together, consider setting an intention for the function that finds something to celebrate about America that isn't simply nationalism, possibly focusing on a minority community you belong to. Invites could say something like, I'm having a get-together to celebrate the resilience of X marginalized community in America as one option. As a white, straight male, I'm not part of many minority groups. So it's going to be tough to do that. You know what I mean? When I first read that, I missed the part you belong to. And I was like, I could not fathom how weird it would be if I threw a barbecue and made it about Black Lives Matter. I think people would be like, yo, I am glad and I agree with the sentiment, but this is a weird barbecue for you, Jordan, to throw. It's a weird barbecue. That's great that you're doing it. I'm glad you picked a cause that I too support, but it's a weird barbecue. I just came over for hot dogs and friends. I didn't know I was going to get some politics in there. Another one is consider asking for material or monetary donations from your guests for a cause that our government and or other American institutions have abandoned or actively worked against. Now, again, nothing ruins a party like thinking you're coming over to hang out with family, friends, and eat hot dogs and watch fireworks like someone shaking you down. don't ask for money at this thing. That would be so weird and inappropriate for you to walk around with a clipboard and try and get people to donate to your cause. Surprise them with that? Don't do that. That's rude. That's rude and distasteful. All these things also, heart's in the right place. The heart is in the right place. It's just, no, no. I could not stand being at a party. And if somebody, I think I'm just at the party. Now, if you outline that you're going to do that beforehand, sure. If you say this is a fundraiser and I know I'm going to a thing that's a fundraiser, sure. No problem. Because I know what it is. But if I show up and then you try and do the shakedown for my money, no. Awful. Some other ones that are fine. Here's a good one, though. Hold a reading of poems and stories written by people who have suffered hardships due to American policies, customs, and or agencies. I thought this was a party. Now it's a poetry reading? I don't even go to poetry readings normally. Does anybody? Here's a thing that's never happened. Fuck, they sold out the poetry reading. We can't go now. Nobody's ever said that. Nobody in the history. Because if you want to go to a poetry reading, it's empty except for poets. Because nobody cares about poetry. Oh my God. If you sense you've been invited to a patriotic party where you'll be expecting to wear red, white, and blue and all but make out with the American flag, feel free to ditch it and instead to spend your time volunteering to help resettle refugees or fight for gun reform. You know what? If you're a person who actually agrees with this article, don't come to my party, okay? And you know what? Spend your time fighting for gun reform. Those are great things to do. Help resettle. I agree. Don't come to my party. But also, you can come to the party in a t-shirt. And has anyone ever... I've never been in a situation where somebody's, quote, like forcing anyone to make out with the American flag. What are you doing? Have you been to a 4th of July party before? I don't think so. Because you're an awful person. A no fun person. Small talk sucks. Ask fellow guests if they are registered to vote and tell them how to do that if they don't know. Oh my God. Don't. Also, small talk doesn't suck. Small talk is necessary. Have you ever sat next to someone and they ask you a really invasive question like, hey, have you ever gotten an abortion? You're like, whoa, chill. How about a little small talk? Small talk's not a problem. It's a lube before you can ask more important things and you're getting to know someone. Small talk's great. Small talk is great. It's a part of life. I hate when people act like, oh, I just can't stand small talk. Be better at conversation then, okay? Because if you do a little small talk, you can have, quote, big talk afterward. But you're not good at conversing. Anyway, so dumb. If you want to be an actual virtue signal, don't just carry the virtues. Do something about it. That's it. That is all I wanted to say about that. My God. We're almost at the hour mark here. You know what? I'm going to wrap it up here. I feel like this has been enough. I'm sweating my balls off in my room. I turned my AC off so it wouldn't interfere with this microphone. Recorded 54 minutes of straight talking. The Straight Talk Express. Who was that? Who was the one with the Straight Talk Express? Who was it? John McCain? It's so corny. Political slogans are so lame. So lame. I know I touched on some last week, but it's so funny. The Straight Talk Express. How can you look at yourself in the mirror and call yourself the straight talker? And not feel shame. You should feel shame. Like, I call myself the lone wolf. Ironically, I don't mean it. I don't really see myself that way. I don't. But the Straight Talk Express... I also hope everyone on that thing was straight. John McCain's at the front being like, you're not gay, are you? I almost did a Trump imitation there. But yeah, Straight Talk Express featuring only straights. That's what's up. The John McCain mobile. Oh man. All right. I'm going to wrap it up. Yo, listen, people. Thank you so much. If you made it to this far, you are a champion and I love you. I seriously thank you so much. It really means a lot to me when people listen to my stuff, and it really means a lot to me when they let me know what they think of it. I know I've been getting a few people tweeting at me, some people messaging me on Instagram. They enjoy it, things they like, things they dislike. Some people even let me know I'm 100% correct on the muffins. Let's follow up on the muffins things from last week. I'm 100% correct. He's in the wrong. He owes me a fucking muffin. I keep messaging about it. I'm going to send him a Venmo request for the average muffin price. I'm going to send him the individual average muffin price too, because you buy muffins in bulk, they get pretty cheap. You can get $1.20 a muffin, $1.10 a muffin. You go late at night, you know, before a grocery store closes, you can get some high-quality muffins, one for a dollar, but you got to buy 10 of them. But this guy, no, he's buying me a premium $3.50 Williamsburg muffin. That's what's happening. He's in the wrong. He was in the wrong. But I appreciate everyone who's messaged me and let me know what they think, how they feel about the podcast, what they want, what are some things you'd like me to talk about. I really, 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 really means a lot to me. Guys, I'm going to sign out right now. If you want to see me, though, perform stand-up comedy, go to my website, jordanrabel.com. Or actually, look me up on Facebook. I've got like a fan page there, and I upload all my dates there. I've got like – and I just booked all of what month are we? All of July I'm booked up for every weekend. I'm gone every weekend. I'm in Baltimore, D.C., Philly, New Haven, I think Hartford – Rhode Island, I think. I don't know, but it's on my website or on my Facebook page. And then I just booked all of August. I'm all over the place there. Boston, Worcester, Massachusetts. I don't know. All the cities that are semi-big I could get to. And if I'm in your city, you want to come to a show, please get a ticket, message me, let me know you're coming. That means the world to me. I'm going to sign off now. Thank you so much for listening. This has been Anxiety Now. Have a great life, and I love you. Bye.